Recording, man.
Okay, so that's enough. If there are no other questions on the Beis Yosef, I would like to actually already go to the Shulchan Aruch. It's about time. So I want to read the Shulchan Aruch. You should read all the shachs unless I tell you otherwise. There aren't a lot of shachs on the siman. There's only one slightly complicated shach, which if you read only the shach, something you're not going to get fully. You have to realize the shach is making an assumption. And then I want to look at the one pischei tshuva in particular. Have any of you, by the way, had the chance to look at any of the tshuvas, like the Nodeb Yehuda? I want to read you just one law. I did not finish the tshuva. I did not have the chance. I was hoping to do it over Shabbos, but hopefully I'll do it over Yantav. I don't think we're going to come back to it much unless I find something I really want to talk about. But there's one line I want to read you about Nodeb Yehuda, just about his methodology in Pesach, which is fascinating. So let's start with the Mechaber, Yehuda. Can I impose upon you, please? As opposed to any part of her body other than Mikora.
No, that's actually relevant, though, because they weren't spoke about that.
What's that?
They weren't spoke about that at length. It's like, you know, between like the garment thing.
That's by guessing where the blood came from. That's, we don't know where it came from. But here we're just determining what is the din. You know, so, you know, apparently they didn't understand the line of Donald Trump, you know, bleeding from somewhere. So the Shulchan Aruch had to clarify what the somewhere was. Okay. So anyway. So it has to be Mimikora. Next. Okay, so Ones means pizza or something else. Ratzo means normal. So the Shach adds here, reads of Katan Beis. And Simon Katsadi is the Simon on? Simon Kuftzadi is the Simon on. Ksamen. In other words, if it's a Hargasha, it's Minat Torah. Shach says, yeah, but she's Tmei Amid the Rabbanon potentially because of Ksamen. That's Simon Kuftzadi. Umihu. So it doesn't have to be actually exit her body. There's a very interesting question with no nafgamina, apparently, that the Pischei Tshuva talks about an Os Beis. The only Os in the Pischei Tshuva I particularly want you to know in the Siman is Os Alf, which we've discussed already. But Os Beis talks about what if a woman bleeds, the dam comes into the Bayis Achitzon, but she hasn't cleaned herself yet. And some, don't ask how you know, and this is why there may not be an nafgamina, because there's no way of knowing. What if the blood is in the Bayis Achitzon already, comes the next day, and she does nothing more comes out of the makor, but now it comes out of the bayis achitzon the next day. Is she tmeya also, or no? In other words, there's one point in which she becomes tmeya, and it doesn't matter what happens to the blood after that. So the nafgamina is going to be impossible because she's going to be bedika. She's not really going to know. But that's what he talks about. The tshuvas bris avram. Okay, who quotes this safek? And he argues, apparently, that there is no tumah nosefes. Again, lemaisa doesn't matter, but there's no tumah nosefes once it's in the bayis achitza already. Okay. Okay, so that's the chumrah of Enos Yisrael that Rabbi Zeira quotes. And as the Rambam explains, says, kasher. Right, so that's a very interesting tshuva. It doesn't quite remind me of one of my favorite tshuvas I've ever seen, of the Nodeb Yehuda. Apparently, some clever Jew, and I put that clever underlined, engaged in a business partnership where he swore on a Sefer Torah to a non-Jewish partner, that he would do X. And then when it came time to do it, he said that he wasn't going to, and he wasn't bound by his oath because the Sefer Torah was possible. So The tshuva is addressed to like the one of the Kaiser's officials, if you look at the beginning. The person who sent it to me actually sent me the tshuva because he wanted to know if I could read the German or whatever it was, which I could, even though I ostensibly passed a German exam for reading knowledge, you know, for my dissertation, I wasn't really quite able to read it. Maybe it had been in English, you know, in the German, you know, the Anglo script, I would be able to read it. But anyway, so he had, another person was asked to write this tshuva. And it's such a funny tshuva. I mean, it's an embarrassing tshuva that it had to be written. But the two parts that are fascinating, the pilpul part in the tshuva, which is funny at the end, is that Noda Behuda just points out that despite the fact, even if you were correct, that a shvua taken over a pasul l'chefetz, shel mitzvah, means the shvua is not valid, but in order for the Sefer Torah to be, in order for that to work here, every single chumash in the Sefer Torah would have had to have had a psul. Because otherwise, a chumash itself, Medina, is also has a chefetz shel mitzvah, right? We just don't read b'chumashim in the tzibur because of kavanat tzibur, but clearly it has the din of a sefer, sefrei kodesh. So the shvua, you'd have to have sold every sefer. That's the lundish part at the end. But the really... What?
If you made a swear anyways, but you still have to...
So the real stunning part of this is the other Yehuda starts to quote psukim about shvua. It says, lo si shavu b'shmi l'shakar, and it doesn't say anything about a chefetz shel mitzvah. And it says, lo si sashem l'shem echel l'shav, and it doesn't say anything about a chefetz shel mitzvah. So in other words, which is a funny kind of proof, you know, right? Because that's nothing ever stopped the Chachamim from coming up with something that's not explicit in the Pasuk and putting it there. But nonetheless, he just goes to start quote psukim from the Chumash, from the Torah, and it never says that you have to have a chefetz shel mitzvah, which is, of course, true. A shvua is binding in that Torah, whether you put take tefillin and a chefetz shel mitzvah or not. You swear b'dibur, you know, there's a machlokas, a rishonim, I think, about whether Shem Hashem is required. There's a whole issue about that. There's no shaylin. You don't need a chefetz shel mitzvah to make a shvua binding in the Torah. But it's such a funny tshuva that all he's doing is quoting psukim, and he says that the Torah doesn't say. Okay, so this tshuva, the Ribashur, it's trying to prove the obvious. Right? Sometimes trying to prove the obvious is more difficult than proving that obvious. So the question is, how do you know that the Isser Nida applies by a Penuna? Well, the answer is simple. Right, but he feels the need in this tshuva to go find Gemaras to demonstrate, you see the Isser Nida also applies by the Penuya. So he does, he finds Gemaras. Some of them are Agados. It's a fascinating tshuva. Because again, it's trying to prove the obvious.
Well, in this case it makes sense, because he's also sending this tshuva, at least in the case of the Shalom, he's sending like mainly to the Kaiser, presumably Christian. So hence like supporting that based on the... He's also proving it to the dynam of the Christians as well.
Well, except for that's not irrelevant, because the Kaiser was asking according to Jewish law.
Currently, in addition to...
So he doesn't... For him, to quote the Talmud makes perfect sense. I understand what I get what you're saying, Chaim, but I'm saying I'm not sure that you're right in this particular context.
No, but it's kind of like,
because the Kaiser knows the Bible too. His men know the Bible.
Correct. The point is that the Bible also is held. I
understand what you're saying.
Shamati.
Shamati means acceptance. I understand what I get it. Okay. Shamati in Mishnaic terminology is another word for mikubalani, actually. I am in receipt of a tradition, so keep out there.
Is that only in Mishnaic text? Is there also...
What? I'm sorry?
Is that only in Mishnaic text? Is there also
in... No, it's Dafka Mishnah. When the Gemara in Sukkah, people, you don't appreciate this. We tend to read, some of us tend to read Agada with a grain of salt, or sometimes a little more than a grain of salt. But you should always recognize that very often these statements have a textual basis. They may not be literally true. Gemara talks about Relezer ben Horkinus. Shalosh amar davar me'olam shaloshama me'rabo. He never said anything he heard from his Rebbe. So, and then they tell the story, a funny, it's an agonic story, which, you know, you wonder, is this story, is it legend? But when you look throughout the Mishnah, the Tana who most frequently uses the term shamati, and in the Mishnah, whenever anybody says shamati, it doesn't mean I heard. It means I'm in receipt of a shmua, of a tradition. It's like mekublani. The Tana who most frequently uses it is Rabbi Eliezer. Right? In other words, that agada, whether it's absolutely true, shal amar davar, you know, shal shama me'rabo, or not, it reflects a sensitivity to the text of the Mishnah. Who's the one who keeps saying shamati? You read the Mishnahs, if you read all the Mishnahs, and if you know the Mishnahs, you may not have realized that the term shamati is a technical term. But it is. So that's why, Chaim, when I said shamati,
right,
I meant it with two mashmas. Okay.
Right.
It could be, maybe. Correct. Well, in Shema Tishmo Mitzosai is Kabbalah to Kabel, because Shemoah has two meanings. One is to hear and one is to accept. So it could be. That's very good. That's very good. I just want to make sure that... Excellent.
Shema
That was not translated by the Targum is Shema, even though you could argue it means Kabel. I don't know why it doesn't translate as Kabel. That's very good. Chaim is suggesting that basically it starts out as the Hebrew Shema, which has two translations in Aramaic, which means either to accept, which is Lekabel, or Lishmawa. And in Aramaic, the word Shema, the biblical Hebrew Shema, which means to listen to accept, is Kabbalah in Aramaic, and that is found in, it's only found, I think, in late biblical Hebrew, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? Yep. There's only one place in Chumash the root is found. It's not my bikkias. I heard this, Dr. Bernstein had this conversation, I think it was a Kornbluth who pointed it out. What's the only place in Chumash where the root Kuf based Lamed appears? And it's not. It does mean to receive, but it's totally different sense. The lulaos are makbilos, yishalach hazak. You would never think of it. It's in Hifil. It's not even in. We expect lekabel, but to find lekabel is a much later form. It's in Esther. It's common ki imuva kiblu. So it comes in. Then the Kabbalah goes over from Shema to the sense of receiving, not necessarily listening, and that backs into the Hebrew mikublani. That goes in Shemati. I think that's very good. Very good. Probably the Kablon. Yeah. Right. In other words, there's acceptance and then there's receipt. That's the transition. Right. The Hebrew Shema, which can be also to accept, is Kabal. The other meaning of Kabel, and that backs into Shema. I like that. Very good. Okay. So anyway. This tshuva of the Rivash is like proving the obvious, but it's funny, because sometimes you're asked to prove the obvious, and it's like, how do you know? The answer is, well, we just know. So, okay, sometimes in life you have to consider the possibility that you're wrong. The things that you take for granted, in fact, are not true. But I find the tshuva very fascinating in that regard. Okay, now one more thing I'd like to read, the Pischei Tshuva. So take a look here in Kopei Gimel. Sif Al Sif Katan Aleph, go ahead, Yehuda. Bayer Hetev. Now, what is the Bayer Hetev, by the way? Here, a comment is in order. In light of what you asked me, Yehuda asked me a good question in Seder, which I think someone asked me years ago when we did Nida, and I don't know the answer. You have to keep your eyes out. Did the Beis Yosef have the Chiddush HaRamban on Nida? Why? Because when he quotes the Machlokas Ramam Ramban over 7-11, he quotes it via the Ramban, he quotes via the Magen Mishnah, not from the Ramban. And when he quotes the Gzeira L'Gzeira, why it's not Gzeira L'Gzeira, Mishum Chomer the Kares, instead of quoting the Ramban, who would be the first one to state it, he quotes it from the Talmud, the Rashba, or the Ran, who's a great, great grand student or something like that, probably. He's sort of following that tradition. Why doesn't he quote it directly from the Ramban? The question is, does he have the Chedush Ramban on Nida in front of him or not? Which is an important question. It's a generally important question to know. Whenever a Chacham is writing, what Sfarim did he have in front of him? But here I want to make a different observation. The Bayer Hetev, and I think there may be, I don't know if there is another Bayer Hetev, but the one we have printed, and the one I believe Pischei Tshuva is referring to, is just a digest of the Shach and the Taz. My recollection is, this one Chelik in Shulchan Aruch may be different, maybe Choshen Mishpat, or Ibn Ezra, but I'm pretty sure in Yerudea, If you read the Shach and the Taz, there's nothing in the Bayer Hetev that you haven't seen already. If not 100%, virtually 100%. So the Pischei Tshuva is always telling you, Ayin Bayer Hetev. And I have the sense, but I could be wrong, is that he never is quoting the Shach and the Taz directly. And I'm wondering whether or not the Pischei Tshuva, in his particular Shulchan Aruch, for some reason doesn't have the Shach and Taz, only has the Bayer Hetev. What's that? So I don't know. I don't know how frequently you're going to see that. So I could be wrong. One second. Where do you see the Ayin Shach? On Frida Simon? Right, so my question is simply whether, even though you have to figure out how frequently if he's quoting the Shach directly or not. I don't know. So it falls in the same category. Ayin Bayer Hetev. Right? I mean, what? By the way, what does the Bayer Hetev? Do you look at the Bayer Hetev? Look at it quickly.
Saying it's
Shach. Right. He's quoting the Shach.
Right.
Without naming him. So, Ayin Bayer Hetev. Vida.
The Shlosha Minei Hagashot Yesh L'Inyan Shetet Me'amidah Raita. Alech, Shniz
Okay. That's, by the way, a kind of hargasha that I don't think we... Again, it's not a woman who has... It's not necessarily premenstrual cramps. A woman who might have premenstrual cramps and menstrual cramps, they may be going on continuously. She's not necessarily bleeding in connection with, but somehow her body, entire body shakes, and that's when the bleeding begins. That's number one. Number two. She has the sensation that the uterus opens. Bifnim. She feels a flow of liquid. Chavistas. It should be printed in the back of your Shulchan Aruch. Simen Kofzadi Sifkat and Aleph. Now, this, by the way, I don't know when this happened, but I believe the first printing of the Pesachei Tshuva was before the Chasam Sofer, and then somebody went in later, and that's why the Chasam Sofer always appears in brackets in the Pesachei Tshuva. It's like it's a later edition. Somebody put it in. Omnam. Kofnen Gimel, Bekof Samach Zayin, Bekof Ayin Aleph. Nassan Adler, he was the Chasam Sofer's Rebbe. What? That would have been no. I could be a descendant. When was that the chief rabbi of England? Check. You can check, but I don't think so. Nassan Adler was his Rebbe. And now, second part. The Chasam Sofer rejects the notion of Zivas Davar Lach. To be a Hargasha, it either has to be Nizdazeh Kol Gufa, or it has to be Niftach Pi Amakar. The Im Matza. Olo, Ayim Bishut Shev Yaakov.
Shev Yaakov B'tshuva Ketahuna Siman Memchad She'erichu B'zer V'ayim B'tivei Hashla She'eti L'taman Siman Kuf Pechad Zayt Alam Omnan
A crazy place, see? Sidrei Tara, which is printed in the back of a lot of these, it's in the back of my edition. The Chavis Das. There were those who wanted to argue. I told you that the only way a woman becomes a Nida, if she doesn't have the classic hargasha, is one of three ways. She does a bedikah and finds blood, she has tashmish and finds blood, or she goes to the bathroom and finds blood. Now, so far they mentioned two of them, right? But the question is, why do we say that they're nida? Because she thought it was hargasha shama. She thought it was hargasha seid. So, the question is, she thought that it was, but it was really a hargasha nida. Does that really mean she's a nida d'oraisa, or is that just a chashash? Is that a safek? So he quotes a good number of people who obviously there wasn't a minority opinion that held it was the only safek, but he quotes a number who hold that it's d'oraisa. She's a nida. Aval. Right, so as if she just does, in other words, if she didn't just have tashmish, and she didn't just do a real bedikah, she does a surface wipe, right, on the outside, and she finds blood, that's only midrabanan. There we don't assume, there was nothing to mask the hargasha. If it had been there, she would have felt it. And then he, kishloi gisha. V'chein, that's the third one. Same thing. Samach it has to be samach l'atalat me'aglayim. How samach? Samach, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever that is, there has to be samach in order to be the raisa. Fine. Okay, so that's where those are. So basically, here's the upshot. I'm going to, God willing, make up questions before Yom Kippur, Chazara questions. I've been very bad about it, and I want to try to get back into doing it. But I just want to, let's talk about what is the sum takeaway of everything that you've learned in terms of halacha lemaisa. The answer is, ha'isha sheras atipas dam kechardal, yosheves alav shivinikim. Very straightforward. You don't need to know anything else. And then, the only other part that you need to know is that in order to be a Nida d'oraisa, you need to have Hargasha, which apparently is a very rare phenomenon today, but there are three scenarios in which we will assume that there was a Hargasha and she might not have noticed it, either if she finds Dam on a full-fledged Bedika, or after tashmish, or immediately after using the bath after urinating. In those circumstances, if after urinating she wipes and finds blood, if on the bedikah cloth she finds blood, or after tashmish she finds blood, without a full bedikah, again, of some type of kinua, that's assumed to be nida d'oraisa. All other bleeding, if we know, if we suspect that it comes from the uterus, is only going to be, at most, nida d'rabbanan, it's going to be a kesem, and we'll learn later that if it's on a davar sheino mekabel tuma, or if it's on something that is colored, so then it's not even tamei mida rabbanan. Okay? So that's it's a pretty small upshot for some pretty difficult sugyas for 3 or 4 weeks, but you want to be talmidei chachamim also now in Landanim. So now I hope that you have a very fairly, reasonably solid foundation for understanding what nida d'oraisa is, even though henceforth, for the most part, it's not something that we're going to come back to. It is important to know for really one primary reason, lamaisa, which is when you have to decide in a shayla, when you have multiple stadim, and you have to decide is something a sveika d'oraisa, sveika d'rabbanan, so then you have to know what is d'oraisa and what is d'rabbanan. So you do need this information, but with your garden variety shaylas, so at the end of the day, we have the chumra b'nos yisrael rabbi zera, the issue of when is she needed the raisa and when is it only in the category of ksamim to be subject to the rules of ksamim. Any questions about that?
First case is where she wipes with, that could still be the raisa.
If what?
If she wipes, it could still be the raisa.
Right after urination, or let's say right after tashmish, yeah. And it doesn't matter what she wipes on. And it doesn't matter whether the toilet paper is mekabel tuma or not. Because the kula of not being mekabel tuma is only by ksamim. But the whole point is we're treating that blood is a re'iyah, not as a kesem. Okay. Just...